Welcome to the Underrepresented in Tech podcast, where we talk about issues in underrepresentation and have difficult conversations. Underrepresented in Tech is a free database with the goal of helping people find new opportunities in WordPress and tech. Hello, Sama. How are you?
I'm good. Hello, Michelle. How are you?
I am good also. It's a Tuesday morning here. It has been raining for days and the sun is out finally, so it feels good. But I have to admit, over the weekend, it was so hot I had my air conditioning on. But yesterday got so cold, I turned my furnace on. And that is what it's like to live in Rochester, New York. So anybody who doesn't live here, you can be glad that you are not air conditioning one day and your heater on the next day. But I only for a few hours, just had to take away the chill and the damp. But I am the person who turned on her furnace in August. So anyway.
It's fine. Then you're perfectly trained to join Netherlands to live in Netherlands. Okay, because we have the same. We have like 32 degrees, like, which is really hot. And then you have a rain and you have your raincoat. It's in the same 3 days.
So it's cold. It's cold. And there's, I don't know if you have the same jokes over there, that the dad always says, who turned the thermostat up? Like, who turned the, you know, like, I live alone. I can do whatever I want. And I can do it through my Amazon Echo or my phone. I don't even have to go to the living room and touch the thermostat. So anyway.
Me, I love it. I do it through Nest and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel this 2 meters walking mentally when you sit in the couch and then you live too far away. So yeah.
And my bedroom is at one end of the house and the thermostat is at the other end. So if I wake up in the morning and I'm chilled, I can just turn it up before I even get out of bed. I love it. Anyway, this isn't a weather podcast, so I suppose we should move on. But I just, you know, I like to share. Anyway, so I was thinking the other day about some things, and I know this is not a surprise to you, but just to bring everybody else into the conversation. And I was wondering about the statistics on cybercrime and, you know, identity theft, hacking, things like that. And who is most susceptible? Now, I know, at least we've all heard, that elderly folks are definitely more susceptible. My own mother was swindled at one point in time. She luckily was able to get the bank to reverse the charges. It was $400, which, you know, is not nothing. And it was quite a lot to her and her fixed income. And I got to thinking, I wonder who else could be victims of cybercrime. And so as I was doing some research, I sent you, like, not just an article, I sent you the Google search link, because there was so much about, and I think the term I used, if I can remember correctly, go back to our message. The term that I used was minorities at higher risk for cybercrime, just to see if that was accurate. And it was. It turns out that, and I'm looking at, right now I'm looking at an article from CyberScoop. This is from 2021. I can't imagine it's got a lot better since then, of course. But the article says that cybercrime is hitting communities of color at higher rates. And then they go on to say that Black people, Indigenous people, and people of color are more likely to suffer from identity theft and financial impact from the fallout, according to survey data collected by internet security company Malwarebytes. Now, before people think, oh, it's, you know, the U.S. and blah, 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 I will tell you that this article actually studied people in countries, three different countries, the United States, the United Kingdom, and Germany. So it is not just North America centric, because I know that we have a tendency to look that way because a lot of reporting happens that way internationally. But this one was not just U.S. centric. So, gosh, I have to say, obviously, I did the search because I had an inkling that that might be true. So I'm not exactly surprised, but I was a little shocked at how much data there was on how impacted, you know, people of color could be. Obviously, also, the articles that I saw also talk about people under 25 and people over 75. So the young and the old are also at risk. And I'm getting older myself, so maybe I shouldn't say 75 is old, but it is still the older population. No. I'm still over 20. I'm 20 years away from that. So, but still, it feels like it's getting closer. But But, you know, older and younger populations did not surprise me as much. But the fact that people of color and indigenous people are impacted at a higher rate, especially with a financial loss, I have to say was it was higher than I expected to see. What are your thoughts?
I also was shocked about the numbers because I thought, like, usually minority in general, if you're talking people of color or women, are having less money than others. So, but also with identity theft and other things, I was shocked by the numbers. And also I was shocked to know that also during COVID that the rate was really getting higher and higher and higher because people are spending more time online. But also I was reading that the reasons, or let's say the several factors why minorities are higher risk for cyber crimes, like social inequalities, lack of access to resources, or targeted attacks, or a lot of things. But one of the things that really triggered my brain were they saying offline and online violence and attacks are related. So there was another search, they saying that the same group of people that are being attacked online are the same one who also offline being attacked. How can I say it's really amazing. I don't want to say amazing, it's not a good thing, but it's really shocking the numbers. It's not like we're talking about 5 or 10%. There was another search I was reading, it's like 54% of all the cyber attacks are for women, and 77% of them are for people of color. It's so crazy the numbers. And I don't know how
Yeah.
what to do, what people need to do to stop it, but also at the same time, the people who are responsible for the policies and people who are responsible for working for the cyber security or focusing to work on the attacks are not coming, most of them from those groups. So they're not really focusing on solving that issue for the
Right.
minority. Yeah.
I made the connection that underrepresented can often mean underprotected. So if I,
Absolutely. Yeah.
right, so you think about all the things we've talked about between Ali and me before and you and I this year about how lack of resources and lack of access to resources also means lack of protection. When you think about like so a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, my daughter lives in Buffalo, New York. They had the storm of the century, basically. Over 7 feet of snow fell in less than 24 hours. They couldn't clear it fast enough. People died, like 40 something people died because of snow related incidents, whether they started a fire because there was no power in the city. So my daughter was 5 days without power over Christmas. They were sending out stories about how you can treat a dead body in your house. So let's say that you have in your home somebody slips and falls or an elderly person dies. What can you do with the body for days? Because it will take time before ambulances and coroners and everybody can get there because the streets were unpassable. People died in their cars. Underrepresented people died at a higher rate than white people, to be honest, because there, and I did not know this, but gentrification of certain areas also means that those areas get plowed first. Those areas have wider streets. Those areas have access to emergency medical services faster because of those things. And so more, it was disproportionate the access to help and aid that Black and Indigenous people here, Black and people of color in Buffalo had to that. And I wasn't aware that there was even political, parts of plowing streets for snow in that time. If you take that and apply it to the cyber field as well, we can see how that could also be true. I don't think I've ever used the word gentrification about the internet before, but it certainly applies. There are certain things that people have access to more things, and it often comes down to a lack of resources because of a lack of pay, which leads to a lack of financial resources, which means that you are not able to protect yourself as well. And to me, that I mean, I'm on my soapbox already. It pisses me off. I can't even say that any less aggressively. It really just pisses me off that people die and people's lives are so impacted because at the base root of things, there is such an inequality between the haves and the have-nots, and that the have-nots traditionally are people with less, who have less access to resources because of the way that, at least I can speak to the United States, of course, the way that since the Civil War and the freeing of slaves, since the way that those families have been able to navigate into, it's less than 150 years since all of that happened. That's not a lot of time for an entire group of people to be able to have access to the same resources if we're not willing to give access to the same resources. And because we still have racism, and because we still have ageism and with sexism and all of the bad isms that there are out there, it will continue to be that way until we're able to level the playing field. And it's just, oh, it just makes me so mad.
I understand you fully because I believe some people they don't see it that way or because they don't experience it. But also at the same time, it's so I'm looking at it and I'm totally shocked that cybersecurity really can mirror gender and social inequalities. Because as I said earlier, the people who working inside, as we say, in tech, most of it's not fully diverse. We need a lot of diverse in tech. If we're talking about people of color, women from all underrepresented end groups, we need it. But those people who work in cybersecurity may intentionally carry their own bias into policies and tools who will not address me, you, a lot of people around because simply they're not their own themselves diverse, but also that reflect a lot of inequality with the gender with a lot of things, and it's also pissed me off because I don't feel it's fair the life for them it's not fairer, and now also online they're getting more attacked and abused online more than any other place. And also I was shocking that gender inclusive technology can reduce inequalities. And I was reading about it, and that's something that we can maybe focus in it, how to be more inclusive, and it can reduce the cyber attacks on minorities.
Yeah, so David Ruiz is an online privacy advocate at Malwarebytes. Oh, by the way, also the Pew Center reports, which are highly regarded, also reports that significantly larger numbers of women and Black and Hispanic Americans have reported online harassment compared to white men. But David Ruiz says this survey, for me at least, really showed that the internet is not an equal experience for everyone. And people are telling us that loud and clear. There are groups who feel less private. There are groups who feel less safe. That just breaks my heart. I mean, but it's personal experiences. And like you and I are constantly saying on the show, when people tell you something about their experiences, believe them, because there are so few people who would tell you that they've been attacked if they haven't been attacked, who are willing to say, I've lost money because I fell victim to a scam. Or I had to, untangle privacy issues because my social identity was social security here in the United States. I'm not sure what it's called elsewhere, but it was stolen. And we just had a huge breach, right, in the United States, where all of our social security numbers and identities were breached. And so there's an entire possibility that anybody here and living in the United States, you need to tighten down your access to people's access to you, and make sure that your credit reports and things like that, you're monitoring those very closely, because anybody with access to your information, including a social security number, date of birth, could apply for a credit card in your name and then leave you with all that debt at some point because of the way that this works. And because underrepresented people typically have less access to the finances to be able to do those things, we, people of color and women and handicapped ex or disabled people, often are the victims of that. And so hypervigilance, it's expensive in a lot of ways, but it's also one of those expenses that you have to find a way to accommodate, whether it's your hypervigilance or being able to pay for additional security for your own social security number and things like that. I'm not sure exactly that there's one right answer, but certainly leveling the playing field and just like, yeah, it's, I don't know. All right, over to you because I'm just
Yeah,
losing my
it's
ability to speak sanely.
remember we talked about a while ago about the digital gap, and that
Yes.
is, you can see the difference because the numbers, I'm still shocked about them because I was reading this afternoon a couple of hours before now. It is, how can I say, it's reflect that instead of us moving or how can I say, because online where everyone feel from the corner of your home, whatever, you can join, you can do a lot of things. It will be more safer than the real world if you're, let's be honest, if you have a specific color pigmentation, your skin,
Yes.
or you're walking, you will feel safer at home. But no, it's still the same. It's like if you're home, you're being attacked, you're being your identity stolen, you secreted. Funny things in our culture, when I'm talking about the Middle East, there was people, they never attack men, which is funny, which I hated. What
Right.
happened is women that when I was 18 years ago, 40 years ago, I'm joking, 18 years ago, the Facebook, you know, some people were taking your photo and then they created the account and then they start saying like, contact me or they offer sexual service, whatever. In my culture, that is really big shame if someone has that. It's the family, it's your dignity, your work can fire you. Nobody wants to. It's really big shame on your family. And some people were really scared. So people, what they do, take photo and then make a private account and then send photo to that person. If you don't give me money, if you don't give me thing, I will use you. It's all of the time went to women. It's never someone.
Yeah.
Most of the time attack me like I'm gonna put your photo, and that sometimes really scares me now with the AI thing and a lot of tools to create video, a lot of things. Also, I was reading today about it. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It's they made photos for you and then they abuse you sexually or as they say, we're gonna post it online if you don't do this, or we're gonna send a share it to your husband that you send me this photo, or if you don't send me money. And I found it crazy. And again, most of it happened to people of color, indigenous and women. So I hope, I don't know, the people who are responsible for the cybersecurity, the policies and rules are what they get a focus on, they focus on more why those group being more attacked. And as I said earlier, there was a nice solution, gender inclusiveness, so that will give less figure for identity online and people cannot find out who you are.
Yeah. There's another, I'm trying to find out the where it actually said it. I've lost track of where I'm in the article. But I will say that also because it's embarrassing to report crimes against yourself. So for example, we know that more women have been raped than we'll report than we know of because women don't want to report that they've been a victim of that kind of crime because there's a stigma. Especially in different cultures, right? So more so in some cultures than others, of having been attacked, that it lowers your value as a woman. So less people, fewer women will actually report when they've been sexually assaulted. The same is true for cybercrime. People are embarrassed that it happened to them and they are less likely to report it. So the numbers that we're sharing today are actually probably higher in reality. Because people are unwilling to say, yes, I fell victim to that crime, because of the embarrassment that goes with saying I was, but if somebody breaks into your home, we don't, you know, we're not likely to say, oh my gosh, I'm not going to call the police because, you know, somebody busted into my bank vault or whatever it was. But when it's our personal things, it's somehow, and when it's online, it somehow feels more embarrassing. And I'd like to remove that stigma altogether because these kinds of crimes need to be reported so that we can do more to stop and shut down. And I know that as soon as we solve one way, we know this with WordPress, right? You build a plugin. There's a vulnerability. We patch the plugin. We update the plugin. There's another vulnerability. we patch the plugin. Like it's not like, oh, we built it once and it's done, right? So like there's always, we always have to be vigilant about new ways that people are able to kind of get in and attack us. We have, in the old days, all we had was like a little latch on your door to lock. Well, people, with big boots can bust right through that latch. Then we have like better, we have deadbolts, and like in hotel room, I have an extra lock that I bring that even with a key, you cannot get into my hotel room until I remove that lock because I'm concerned about my own safety. And so we have to be able to think ahead in some ways to be able to protect ourselves. And just, I think, I don't know what the solution is, but I think raising awareness, we don't always have the answers, right? You and I, but we can at least raise awareness and make people, help to think about it. Because also, if it's happened to you and you didn't want to report it, there's a feeling of not safety in numbers in this respect, but like I feel better that I'm not the only person that's fallen victim, for example, right? So like misery loves company, or it just to know that you're not the only person that's been a part, included in a group like that. Just it just feels like, well, at least it wasn't just me, I guess. I'm not saying it very, very eloquently, but I think you understand what I'm trying to say.
But also the thing is, now I remember a story, I totally forget it. When I moved to live in Europe, I went with my husband to Prague. I invited him like for a long week in our anniversary. And what happened is I used my credit card because I don't want to use my normal bag. And then what happened is, maybe my stupidity or whatever, I give the guy, he said the machine is too short, whatever, and I take it. And my husband used his card also on the ship. But when I went back home, I found there's 1,700 euro deduct from my credit card.
Oh no.
I'm really happy. I called the bank. I didn't do it. I didn't approve this bit. And it's really ridiculous. But the questions was the guy was asking me, I tolerance it because I'm not gonna pay 1,700. Believe me, if it was 500 and 400, yes, 2 months maybe I will be upset about it and I will cut down as much as I can my expense to manage it. But it's also like immediately, and I know sometimes when you speak on the phone, if you say, whatever your name is, Annelies van Gastel, and hi, my name is Samah Nasser, and then that's a trigger, like, are you sure? And he was asking me, maybe you give it to someone, maybe we did it. At the end, fine, they gave me the money back, which I was really happy. After a couple of months, as happened with my husband, someone took 400 or 300 and something from the use his credit card. He called them. His name, my husband, Tamo van Gastel, la 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 la. And in less than 10 seconds, he closed the phone. He told me, oh, they send me the money back and they give me a new credit card. And I was really pissed off. I had to
I
go through whole investigation and you because of your name, and that's it. It's happened. And sometimes, I don't know, maybe if a different person, you'll be ashamed because you
would
will
be too.
be scared. Like, are they going to question me? And also, there's a lot of factors. You're a foreigner, different name, coming from different culture. Also, at that time, if you don't have the nationality, some people are really scared because if it's the guy on the phone, if he said, no, you're lying, then they will give you a fine. And that fine can jeopardize your residency at the country. So it is really crazy combination. But the now for now, I don't use my credit card anymore. It just safe in the house, doesn't come out. I always have cash, and that's how I travel. But yeah, it was so crazy. He say his name, he's a man. He get it in 10 seconds, honestly, canceled. They ask him, did you do it? He said, no, I did not. And they said, okay, we're gonna cancel your current credit card and send you a new one. And we have to go through investigation. And the guy literally threatened me at the end if they find out that I did the reservation, that I could go to jail. And I told him the phone, no, I didn't do it. Check, like, it's so crazy. And so, yeah.
And yet, if your husband had called on your behalf, they probably would have said, oh, yeah, okay, no problem. Yeah.
No, but I think when they ask my social number, when they look at my name, that's weird, you know. It's happened, but it's sometimes, I don't know how to say it. It's happened a lot, but as you say, yeah, not everyone reported, definitely. And not everyone say it, so the numbers will be much higher in reality, let's say,
Yeah.
if people reported it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, if you're out there and listening this far, please protect yourself. Find ways to, at the very least, make sure you're monitoring your own accounts so that you can catch things as they come through. Make sure you're monitoring your websites. Oftentimes, so one of my favorite lessons I learned, I should say, favorite's the wrong word, but to tell the story, back in my freelancing days, I was hosting a bunch of my customers, and I had them all in the same hosting account, and I was just partitioning it off. And one of those accounts got hacked, and so they all got hacked, right? Because they were all in the same hosting space. I mean, I've learned since then. And then we're talking, it was well over 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, something like that. Very, very early on. I've learned. I'm not doing this anymore. But just to put it out there. But I spent the entire night. I was in Montreal. I was speaking the next day at WordCamp Montreal. I get those notifications as I'm driving 7 hours up there, 5, 6 hours, whatever it was. So I spend the entire night taking out lines of code because I didn't also have the backups, more recent backups. I had backups from when I built the sites, but I hadn't been backing them up. So I wasn't protecting them that way. There was no automated backups like there are now in today, the way we deal with hosting today. And so I cleaned up all the lines of code. The hosting company said, "Congratulations, we're turning everything back on. It's all set." And the next day, it was all done again. And it's because I did not realize the one thing I didn't check, and nobody had ever told me to check, was that they probably also created new users with admin privileges on each of those sites. And they had. I didn't know that that was a thing. And so I had cleaned up the mess, but I still had the uninvited guests in the house, right? So like I had to do it all again. So all of that to say, you can think you're being hypervigilant, but please do your due diligence because oftentimes there are things that you overlook, like you've locked down the front of the house, but the back doors are still open, you know, and there's ways that people can get in if you're not being careful. So do your research, make sure that you are spending wisely on tools that will help you stay safe. That's all I got.
Yeah, and share your experience. I know it's difficult. I know maybe in your position you feel shame or you don't want to share it, but when you share your story, you can protect others because people will learn from you. And all the time, those hackers or whatever, when you share the way they do it, of course, every time they come up with something, but at least sharing the knowledge, this is what happened to me. Be careful from this and this,
Yes.
and you can protect other people.
Absolutely. Being vulnerable in how you are able to share your story, don't be vulnerable on your website. Don't leave your so vulnerability
That's
is an
good
interesting
lesson.
word in our culture, in our, you know, internet culture. But opening yourself up to sharing your experiences can often help other people to learn from them. So be that kind of vulnerable, not the other kind of vulnerable. Anyway.
That.
Me too. Oh, that's awesome. I'm trying to see. I don't remember. Do we have a guest next week? No, we don't have a guest next week. So I'm not sure what we're going to talk about. If you have ideas for us, things that you think, otherwise, we keep watching the news, we keep thinking of things, and we'll be back next week with more topics about underrepresented folks. And yeah, so and if you have stories, let us know. We have, definitely have some guests coming up that I'm excited about. So anyway, thank you, Sama.
Thank you, Michelle, and
Good
thanks
topic.
everyone who's listening to us.
Absolutely. We'll see y'all next week on
See
Underrepresented
you.
in Tech. Bye. If you're interested in using our database, joining us as a guest for an episode, or just want to say hi, go to underrepresentedintech.com. See you next week.